How many of you all delight in this knowledge? The cross of Jesus Christ is doing what it said it would do. That God will forgive you. And because of that, there's a lot of hope in this room. You may be seated. As we continue to celebrate this advent of hope, go with me to the 25th Psalm, and we're going to work on this a little bit. We're going to expand on it a little bit. We're going to dig at it a whole lot. That Jesus Christ is madly in love with you. So in love with you. So in love with you. That He has come in such a way that instead of being hopeless, we as human beings have the opportunity to be hopeful. Full of hope. How many of y'all glad to be a people full of hope? Or are you full of hope? You see, that might be a better question. Am I full of hope? And if you're not full of hope in claiming Christ, then guess what? You're going to have to connect to the reality of what's really happened in you. If you have invited Jesus Christ in your life and you said, you know what, I want to be a follower of Jesus. You've done just what Jacob and Brandon have done. And you've said, you know what, I want Christ to forgive me and love me and embrace my life. And guess what? Guess what? You are full of guess what? Hope. Now, I know what you're thinking. You're going, I don't feel like I got what? Hope. I want to start there today. Christmas is more than a feeling. Isn't that cool? Of course, we all know about Christmas Eve what will happen to most of us. We'll all get what? Kind of that Christmas tingle feeling that goes, hey, the world's not as bad as it is. And at least for 24 hours, we'll step out of reality and say, okay, this is Christmas time. But really, let me show you the power of Christmas. The power of Christmas is not stepping out of reality. Isn't that interesting? Christmas did not step out of reality. In fact, Christmas stepped into reality. How many of you are glad to know that the advent is this? Even though you and I could not get to God, and we had tried a few ways. You know what I mean? If you read the Bible, we were going to build this big tower one time over in Genesis, and you know, it's going to be bigger than the Empire State Building. We were going to climb up there and have big communion with the gods, you know, and we were going to search God and embrace God up there, and that tower kind of fell apart. We've done that more than once. I'm going to get my way to heaven. Led Zeppelin said you could buy your way, you know, buying her way. The stairway of what? But then there's this thing called the Word of God. And it proclaims one way. And the way of God is not something that you and I, guess what? Go find. It has come to us. How many of y'all have heard people like this? Well, I'm seeking God. I'm going to find God. I'm going to come to my conclusion of where God is. And once I come to my conclusion, thus God will exist. Well, who's in the center of that philosophy? I. How many of y'all just look at your neighbor and say, you good looking, but you're not God. Go ahead and tell your neighbor that. You good looking, but you're not God. You good looking, but you're not God. All right? Go ahead and make this testimony to them. Come on. Even if you don't know them, I want you to. People are going, oh my gosh, what am I telling this strange human being? But listen, you're pretty good. You know that? But you're not good enough. You're pretty good, man, but guess what? You're not good enough. Did you realize your neighbor can't bring you hope? I mean, they're pretty good, but they're not what? They're not God, so they're not what? They're not enough. And I want you all to know that we have a Jesus that's enough to get us all the way to heaven. Now, I just think this is a good idea. How many of y'all think it's a good idea to like live forever in heaven? I mean, this week, guess what? This week's been a tough week. I had to say goodbye yesterday afternoon to a good friend of mine. 50 years old, had a heart attack. Laid down to go watch the ball game. Went to sleep and didn't wake up. Now, don't be surprised. Y'all got this look on your face. This is not a tragedy in his life. This is a painful moment because you leave your family and your children. But guess what? It's not a tragedy because he had the hope of Jesus Christ in his life. What I want you to wake up to is it's that real. And you know what scares me? And I think God during the weeks allows me to have some wake up alert times, because you know what? There's a lot of us that drift in here on Sunday mornings. This is kind of, you know, it's our religious routine. You know what I mean? We're supposed to go to church, supposed to be good people. We're from South Central Kentucky, not supposed to get caught, cussing and smoking and those kind of things. Just don't get caught. And come to church and kind of keep a warm, fuzzy relationship with God. But then there's this problem. The reality of Christ brings hope. Somewhere we got to get real with God and say, Jesus, you know what? I'm a sinner and you're a Savior. Jesus, I've blown it and you've made it possible. Isn't that what we're really saying? We played so many games with God. I just want to tell you today, let's go be hope. And here's what we're going to do at the Advent. I think it's time to get over games and become God's reality. What do you think? I'm going to ask you to take your Christmas experience out of your Hallmark little bubble thing. How many of y'all have ever at Christmas time, you got one of those snow bubble things you shake up and it snows and there's a little, you know what, those are nice and they may make you feel warm and fuzzy and hallelujah, but you know what? Here's what I want. In the name of Jesus, may your bubble be busted so that you might find the great reality of Jesus Christ. That Jesus came in the midst of it all. Do you all realize it was a chaotic moment when Jesus was born? Did you realize they were taking up taxes? Did you realize there were some people conning each other in the city? In fact, there might even have been a couple casinos open. People changing money. They gathered together. I guarantee you there's some at least pitching coins. And Jesus came anyway. You know what? I bet in the city of David on the night that Jesus was born, I bet there was some people shacking up where they didn't need to be shacking up. What do y'all think? On the night Jesus was born, I bet there were some people looking for love in strange places or even familiar places. I bet there was some people stealing some stuff on the night Jesus was born in the city of David. What do you think? I bet there was some people coveting other people's stuff on the night Jesus was born. Boy, that looks a whole lot different than Silent Night, Oh Holy Night, doesn't it? You know why I'm so glad Jesus was born into that world? That's the one I live in. I live in a world where things change fast. What about you? I live in a world where there's not a lot of hope. But I have found a Savior who is still the hope no matter what the world does. And so I'm going to ask you this Christmas, become what God has revealed. So this week, guess what we're going to become? Hope. Just look at your worship partner over there and say, I'm going to hope up this week. Tell them I'm going to hope up. Come on, I'm going to hope up. Come on, tell them. I'm going to hope up. Brittany, I'm going to hope up. I'm going to hope up. Robbie, I'm going to hope up. How many of y'all going to hope up? Yeah. Elizabeth, I'm going to hope up. You going to hope up? Good. I'm going to hope up. In fact, Frank, I'm going to get my hope on. I'm going to get my hope on. Here's the problem with us followers of Jesus Christ. A lot of us, we don't get our hope on. We join the world, check this out, in their limited understanding. And agree with it. CNN is not going to give me my worldview. And neither is Fox News, for those of you who think Jesus owns that station. He doesn't. Jesus goes way beyond what we see into bringing hope where we cannot see it. Here's what hope is. God will come through even though I can't feel it, nor can I see it. I will trust God to be God. How many of y'all need a little of that action? Even though I can't feel it, even though I can't see it, I'm going to trust it because God, what? Said it. Now go with me to Psalm chapter 25. I want y'all to get this. Man, the Holy Ghost is already here. How many of y'all recognize the Holy Spirit's already kind of, okay. I don't know about y'all. I could jump out of my skin right now to just let y'all know. Isn't it cool that for those of us that follow Jesus, we don't have to be hopeless? And everybody else is hopeless. And I'm not just joking with you. I'm being very serious when I say, in a very familiar way, go get your hope on. Now, I know Walmart said in a commercial they've opened more lanes. They haven't. You get your hope on in there. You go to Walmart or Dollar General store or the mall or wherever you go. But this week, as a follower of Jesus Christ, you ought to have your hope on. And don't join the crowd in this Christmas saga. Most people now, it's a shame. The devil's so distorted this great moment that Christmas is a bother instead of a blessing. Most of us are going, I can't wait to get this over so I can get to the new year. Instead of, wait a minute, I might need to embrace what God is saying. First thing he says is this, trust him. Look what it said in the 25th Psalm. It says this in the 25th Psalm. You ready? He says, to you, O Lord, I lift up my soul. How many of y'all today need to wait a minute? My soul is lifted up to God. I lift up my soul. Three things that are in your soul, your mind, the way you feel about things, and the decisions you decide. So what is the soul? It is the mind, the way you think it, the way you choose it, which will lead to the way you feel it. Amen? But I am going to tell you something, listen. Hope is more than a feeling. I'm still hopeful even though I can't feel the hope. Why? I know who wrote the book. You see, how many of y'all believe God wrote this book? You see, here's what I'm telling you. The very guy that was the author of this book is the one that says, I bring you hope. The very guy that authored the pages of this truth is the very God that says, you don't have to let go. Even if it's all gone, God does not leave. Now that's some hope. Because guess what? Things can leave. 1929 in this country, there were a lot of people that had their hope in the economic success of America. A lot of people had their hope in stocks and bonds and investments. And in 1929, on that black day, it all came crumbling down. And guess what human beings did? They jumped out of the window at Wall Street. Because when their God died, so did they. Now check us out as followers of Jesus, these weird people that do it even though they can't see it. They stay with it even though they can't feel it. They believe it's going to happen even though it may be a distant time away. Our God never dies. Now hold on, here's the hope. Since our God was crucified, but did I tell you the good news? 3 days later, that Jesus was risen from the grave. Stay with me here. Since you can't kill him, you and I don't have to jump. Isn't that good news? I don't have to jump. You say, oh, in fact, guess what though? I got to do something tougher than that. I got to live on when everybody else wants to jump. That's hope, isn't it? In fact, I was talking to some young couples this week, and they were great, blessed young couples, man, cool young couples. And they'd just been married about 2 years, and they said, Pastor Steve, how do you stay married? I said, don't quit. Refuse to leave, no matter what. I said, what if it's really bad? I said, I'm not giving up on this marriage. I'm not leaving. And they said, well, I don't like you. Well, I don't like you either, but I'm still not leaving. I believe in God so much that He'll put us back together again even when we don't like each other. How many of y'all got a God that tough? Huh? About five of you. All right. Let me help you. If you do decide to get married, there will be days you don't like each other. Here, I'll show you. Elizabeth, isn't that true? Elizabeth, you haven't liked me every day of our marriage, have you? There's been a day you didn't like me. She said one. I think it was the day after the wedding ceremony when she says, I cannot believe I've done this. You know how Pastor Mark Hale says, I cannot believe I get to live this life? Elizabeth says, I cannot believe I chose this life. You see what I'm saying? Yeah, but there's days that even when it's difficult, here's where I want you to know what hope is. Even in the midst of difficulty, God comes through. We live in that, folks. That is our reality, not God's suggestion. To you, O God, I lift up my soul. In you, O God, I trust, says David the psalmist. And look what he says. I want to give you three things to watch out for, because look what he tells us. He says, don't let me be put to shame, nor let my enemies triumph over me. Now, I want you to get rid of something in the name of Jesus. How many of y'all need to get rid of shame? Man, shame is nasty. Can I just pause for church identification? I want to apologize on behalf of the clergy, even though a lot of them would not want me to apologize for them, but I'm going to anyway. How many of y'all ever went through one of those sermons in your childhood where all the preacher did is shame you for 45 minutes? Yeah, me too. Did it work? Drove you away? Anybody been through one of those? You know, you're a bum, you've done this, you've smoked too much, drank too much, you know, you played Monopoly and that was a form of gambling, you're going to burn in hell for 30 minutes or whatever. How many of y'all went through all this stuff? You know what's so amazing? None of it's in the Bible. It's not in there. You wouldn't believe how devastated I was in my life when I found out that you didn't go to hell for drinking a beer. Because I'd heard that. I'd heard that from a pulpit. I sat there as a 12-year-old kid. I heard a preacher pull open a Bible, hold it open in his hand, got the big lever cutter, and he had like five chins. Because, I mean, the ones that could send you to hell, they really jiggled, you know? They were called evangelists. And he said, in the word of God! You know, you could barely understand them. And he said, if you drink a beer, you're going to hell.
And if you listen to rock and roll, you're going to
hell. Oh, rock and roll, you're out of there. It's Southern gospel, absolutely. Now, hold on. And here's why I tell you this. Be very careful, because let me tell you what happened. That threw a lot of shame in the body of Christ. You wouldn't believe how mesmerized I was when I met German pastors who preached the cross and resurrection of Jesus Christ, who drank a beer on a regular basis. You wouldn't believe how amazed I was when I found out that gluttony sat at the same place as alcoholism. Let me tell you, what I was amazed of is not that we had all sinned. I've never been amazed that we've all sinned, because I don't know about you, it just came natural for me. I never had to practice how to sin. For some reason, it just felt like that was the thing to do. Did anybody else have that problem? It just naturally flowed with who I was. But oh, let me tell you what I'm amazed with. I'm amazed at a Jesus who came to us. I'm amazed at a God that looked at me. I'm amazed at the hope that Jesus sang into my life, when yet I was a sinner, brokenhearted, distant from God, and put to shame. But the Jesus that came to Bethlehem said, I am the hope of your life. That Jesus is in this room. So, if some of y'all have sinned real good, how many of y'all would like to have this day at Hillview? We just put everybody's life up on one of these big screens. What if we were to talk to God one day and say, God, here's what we want you to do. We want you to send us a DVD of every person that attends Hillview. And we want the show of all their secret places. What are y'all sweating for? Oh, Pastor Eric, everybody's sweating. Why are they sweating?
We don't want people to know our stuff.
Well, guess what? They can't know your stuff. Didn't you give your stuff to God? See, this is what you don't realize. If I ask, now you ask Elizabeth for a DVD, she can make you one. She'll say, here's some stuff he's done. You ask Jesus Christ, the DVD's only going to have one story on it. He was a sinner, short of grace, but I died on the cross. I've risen from the grave, and His story is my story now. Now there's your hope. True? That's why David pleads in the psalm, and he says this, look, this is my hope. To You, O Lord, I lift up my soul. In You I trust, O my God. Do not let me be put to shame, nor let my enemies triumph over me. There'll be three enemies that come at us this Christmas. There are a lot of enemies, but let me give you three that are current. Okay? First enemy of your Christmas is shame. Shame will take away your hope. Shame limits you from your possibilities. Shame steps you back away from the walk of God. Be not shamed. God has forgiven you. Get out of the shame, amen, and live in the hope. Number two, some of you will decorate and forget to celebrate. I see this happening in weddings all the time. I remember when I was a young pastor. I can't believe I say that now. I remember when I was a young pastor and started doing weddings. Here I am. I do these wedding rehearsals. And like moms of brides, something possesses them on the day before the wedding. And they would ask me about flowers and stuff. Hey, do I look like a guy that's been around flowers and stuff during my life? I mean, my mom bought my prom flowers. I said, Mom, I need some flowers for that dance. Would you go get me some, please? And she would, and I'd give them to Elizabeth. She goes, oh, these are so beautiful. I said, yeah, they are, aren't they? Yeah, really good flowers. I'm sitting there thinking, and then my mom told me what they cost. And I'd look at my mom and said, you paid that much for some flowers? I said, Mom, that would have bought a new radio for my car. I mean, had all kinds of stuff. That could have been, but no. These brides, mothers, would miss the whole wedding because they were worried about a pink carnation on the third row that tilted to the right. When Elizabeth and I got married, she had family come out of everywhere. I mean, she was kin to everybody in 55 states. I'd never met these people. And her mom got on a picture day. We were having picture day at school. We took pictures for an hour and a half. Finally, I looked at Elizabeth and I said, I've waited 20 years, and by the grace of Jesus, I've been a good boy. I can't wait another minute. Whatever aunt, uncle you got, let's take a group picture, hit them all, let's get to Nashville. Because I knew the hope of glory was 70 miles down the road. You see, you got to look at these things. It was at Christmas time. Remember? Remember when we were like really in love and I passed up the exit three times just out of anxiety? Just, you know. Why does it change so much? You know what I mean? Why? Because you really love. You know what happens when you really love? When you really love, everyday life becomes extraordinary. And you don't have to decorate all the time because you can celebrate. Now, please hear me clearly so I don't have 50 emails. Did I say not to decorate? No. No, what I said is don't forget to what? Celebrate. Huh. Why don't you take a moment with your family? Pull out, you know, some of those ornaments your kids made when they were like three? Yeah. And they're 30 now? Show them to them. Look what happened to you before you were so sophisticated. This is a pipe cleaner ornament we say, yeah, take them out. I love it when Elizabeth takes them out in front of Blake's girlfriend. Blake, this is a picture of you in your Snoopy pajamas. See, don't forget to what? Celebrate. That life is going on and will go on. And in the midst of this life, embrace the hope of Jesus Christ. Now I want to get you to the third enemy that'll come at you. You ready? It'll be here. You will be so busy during this Advent season, you will forget the blessings of life. This is a great thing you can do at Christmas. No, I'm sorry, we cannot come. We are previously obligated. Could save many of you your whole Christmas. No, we already have seven parties to go to. We can't make it eight. But thank you for your hospitality and your love in considering us. What would that do to you? You might actually have Christmas. Or, you know, make up some excuse. We're flying to Bethlehem and we won't be back by then. Am I communicating? Don't become so busy that this blessed moment that we celebrate the hope of Christ becomes a burden instead of a blessing. We are God's people. I can't control what the world does, and I can't even control what you do, but I can highly recommend, as followers of Jesus Christ, what we ought to do. We ought to be the blessing. So get your hope on and get it active in the world. And let me tell you what else it says. You ready? He says it's Jesus that's the hope. God in flesh. Is that not the greatest hope? And he goes on and he tells us this in that 25th Psalm. You ready? Look at here. I will lift my soul up to who? To Christ Jesus. How long? Don't let me be put to what? Nor let my enemies what? How many of y'all would refuse to let the enemy triumph? Just refuse it. God, I will not. I will not fall to the enemy this Advent season. Okay, it's going to be tough. I got an assignment for you all week long. You ready? I want you to go be hopeful in the midst of negative people. Can you do it?
Yes.
Why?
Jesus.
Because you have hope. Now let me show you. Those who are with God will never be put to shame. But guess what happens? Those who are without God, guess what they'll be? Put to shame. But they will be put to shame who are treacherous without excuse. Now here's what I want you to know. How many of you in this congregation know how to get to heaven? I try to put it this way. Even if you're a guest today, I promise you, you leave here without an excuse. Have you heard clearly today that without Jesus Christ, there is no forgiveness of sin? Can I put it in another way? You're not going to heaven till you meet Jesus. Let me put it in another way. There is no salvation outside of Jesus. Let me put it another way. You will never be humanly good enough to get to heaven. I mean, you can follow all the big rules. I know some of you will be so proud you're going to stand before God and say, God, I never drank a beer. And he's going to go, wonderful. That means you're alcohol free and headed to hell. I don't know about y'all. I'd rather be drunk in hell than sober in hell. But I don't want either one of those. Those are too weak. I don't want to be drunk with the things of the world, nor do I want the results of hell. Let me give you a higher recommendation. Why not be filled with the hope of Jesus Christ? Why not let your soul be lifted up to Him? Huh? Now guess what? Those who find this treacherous life, it's without excuse because God has made Himself known. Now I just want you to know that. Because I know a lot of you are going to say, well, I think and I feel and I consider and I'm intellectual. I love this argument. I'm too intellectual to be saved. You know, the faith is for non-intellectual people. I got a bunch of preachers now. I've been listening to some of them this week. They're whipping up a bunch of big words to sound sophisticated. Well, let me help you. This is not a sophisticated message. Here's what your preacher believes. If the Holy Spirit won't draw you, then you're going to hell. I can do jumping jacks. I can say fancy words. I can be politically correct so you won't be offended. But guess what? If the Holy Spirit doesn't draw you to this reality, I am a sinner. You won't be convinced. Because you'll try to find an excuse. How many of y'all have ever said this? Well, I'm as good as anybody else. I've heard that a lot. You know, Pastor, I ain't coming to that church. I know what people have done over at Hillview. Man, they've done the same thing I've done. I said, I take issue with that. They said, you telling me you're... I said, no, they've done those things. But they've done something you haven't done. They've allowed Jesus Christ to choose them. What? I said, you see, Jesus Christ wants to forgive people, and they've taken Jesus up on His forgiveness. Thus, now they have the hope of heaven in their reality. How many of y'all realize you're walking out of here with the hope of heaven? Well, put that on the next time you want to give a list of all the things that aren't right. How many of y'all do that? I know what's coming up, students. What's coming up? Finals week. And I know what y'all are going to say. Man, I'm stressed. I got finals week. Wait till you try marriage. You think finals are rough? Wait till you try marriage. You think finals are rough? Wait till you have a 4-year-old. Oh, you think finals are rough? Wait till you have a 16-year-old. You think finals are rough? Wait till you raise one of you. Let me help you what finals are. I tell you what finals are in college. They are pregame to what's coming. Now, they start you out to realize there's going to be some pressure, and my hope is not in me. It's in who? Jesus. That's what David realized. I mean, he's a king. Was David smart? Absolutely. Had David been trained by some fine scholars? Yes. Was King David a bad boy? You better believe it. You don't pick up a rock and hit a giant upside the head without having an arm. And David used to wrestle bears and lions for entertainment. How would you like to tackle that guy, Bradley? This guy was real. And here's what he said. Show me your ways, O Lord. Teach me your paths. Guide me in your truth and teach me, for you are God, my Savior. And my hope is in you all day long. You know what? Two things I find mess us up in a big way. The shame of sin and the busyness of life. You know what shame does? Picture this. How many of y'all have ever seen one of those beautiful presents? How many of y'all have ever had a beautiful present placed under your Christmas tree? You know, one that somebody took time with and wrapped it up with those ribbons, you know, that go all four ways and got the big bow. And it's not one of those taped-on bows. It's a tied bow. You know what I mean? People can do that. Like a cool, beautiful gift. How many of you realize sitting at this altar, sitting in your seat, sitting next to you, sitting around you, sitting inside of you is the beautiful package of God's grace? You know what happens so many times? Shame. Shame keeps us from reaching out and putting our hand on that rhythm, on that beautiful ribbon, and pulling it so the gift of God's grace will open up in our lives. My hope is in who? Jesus. What about yours? Jesus. Jesus. Is there another hope? Mm-mm. So today, what opportunity do you have? You could receive who? Hope of the what? And you don't have to walk out of here shamed anymore. I hear it. Don't you hear it? How many of y'all hear it? I hear people thinking right now, Pastor Steve, you don't understand what I've done. Yeah, I do. I'm going to tell you something today, and I hope for some of you, maybe the first time you've ever heard it. You haven't done anything worse than anybody else. You've sinned against God. And I think we've been so caught up in the what it is, or which one it is, that we've forgotten to realize it is sin. And then we get so trapped in looking at sin, we forget to hear the greater message. It's not about where I've been. That brings no hope. It's not even about where I am that brings a lot of hope. It's about where Jesus is. And He's at the right hand of God, located on earth, wanting to connect with us so we might live out the hope of heaven in the realm of life. You say, how do you know that? He did it. Jesus became hope when everything else was hopeless. And so can you. Everybody get this today? Did it make sense today? Do y'all understand how much Jesus loves you? I mean, He just incredibly loves you. He said, well, Pastor, I'm a jerk. Jesus loves jerks. I mean, I got so much good news. Jesus loves nags. How many of y'all are just a nag? You just nag about everything. I mean, if you got a tape recorder, you wouldn't even like you. But Jesus loves you. I don't imagine Mary was real cooperative after, you know, riding a donkey 9 months pregnant into the city of David. I bet she asked Joseph a couple of times, when are we going to get there? You know? And she may have said, I can't believe you had to be born in the city of David. 90-mile trip on a donkey. They kept walking. And even when there was no room in an inn, they found a room. And there was room enough in a busy city for Jesus to be born. Is there room enough in your life to say, Lord Jesus, I have sinned. And I'm still at it. And I need your salvation. And I need to ask you, Jesus, to forgive me and to come into my life because I need the hope of heaven in this moment of my reality. Because here's what I know. You ready? Gallup polls, Barna's poll, human survey. One out of every one human being dies. Do y'all realize? One human being, every one of them will die. It's a statistic. Translated this, you will die. Now, how many of y'all are depressed about that? Because as soon as I said that, if you went to great fear, it's probably because you have no hope. And you need to get serious about that, because what's going to happen? You're going to die. I get people get mad at me all this time. Like, they go, well, Pastor, you don't understand. I've had a loved one die. I said, no, you don't understand. That's why I talk like this. I have two. And guess what I know? I'm going to have another loved one die. And another one after that. And another one after that. And guess what? I'm out of here too. But here's what I've known. And here's what we believe. Where we cannot save ourselves, Jesus can. So how many of you today need to just say this? Lord Jesus, I've played around with you long enough. Today, I'm going to tell you I'm a sinner and I know I've sinned. And today, Jesus, I'm going to grab the hope of the world, you. I'm going to believe you died on a cross and have risen from the grave, even if that doesn't make total sense to me. I'm going to believe it. And I'm going to ask you to come into my life and forgive me of my sins. What would God do? And I'm tired of hearing this excuse. Well, Pastor Ayers, if I understood every detail about God, I would follow Him. Baloney. You're not being convinced. How many of y'all got married? Okay. How many of y'all had no idea what I do meant when you said it? But you said it and you stayed with it because God stayed with it. Now, hold on. That's what I'm talking about. God's going to join with you in a relationship. And where you start is not where you're going to finish. You're going to start from Bowling Green. You're going to end up in heaven. Okay? But we got to start somewhere. And I just don't buy this intellectual argument that you got to know every detail before you follow something. Because you don't know a detailed schematic of a lot of things you follow. Like having kids. Where's the detail package on that one? I mean, God lets you have them, and then they look at you, and you look back at them, and it's like, what? And you kind of journey through it and it ends up working out. It's called life. There is a mystery called hope. Embrace it today. Stand with me. We want to open this altar open, and it's open, and we want to give an offer today because God gave an offer a long time ago. And I want us to begin to just pray. I want you to just pray. Okay? And I want you to have a little hope here. How many of y'all hope some people come to know Jesus today? Yeah. Good. You know what that shows me right there? Y'all are beginning to understand God's mentality. You know, God wants to be glorified so some other people can know Him. God's not a narcissistic God that wants you to just sit in your little closet and go, "Oh, glory God, be the glory God." God's not, that's you, that's not God. God wants His glory shown with a purpose so that some of you might go to heaven that are not going to heaven. We're having church today for one reason. It's not because God needs some ego strokes. It's because God loves us so much that He wants anybody in this room that's disconnected to realize they can be connected. So today, is that you? Maybe you need to come today just because you've forgotten how much God loves you. And you need to say, "God, I'm sorry. I've become hopeless because I forgot how hopeful I could be." And you may say, "Pastor Steve, you have no idea what's happened to me. What's happened to me? What's up?" You know what? You may not know. Amen? I want you all to pray for a couple of people. We've had people that have lost loved ones. Have one, I want you to pray for Jeff Carter's family. Jeff, 50 years old, passed away yesterday. I told you about that. I want you to pray, Brother Kelly, we pray for you, to the loss of your father. People are going to die. Dr. Moss, you work in emergency room. You ever see people check out? Every week, isn't it? I'm at the funeral home every week. In this size congregation, there's not a week that goes by, 52 of them, that we're not at the funeral home sometime during the week. Now watch, that's not a morbid thing. Let me tell you when it hurts. It's when we're at the funeral home of people we preached to for 20 years that never made the decision to follow Jesus Christ. Because then we don't know. Now that one right there is tough. And what even makes it tougher, it's like this altar call. Guess what? There's nothing I can say that'll save you. I confess that. But there's a Jesus that can. And all I can tell you is how to let Him get a hold of you. Would you confess your sins? Would you believe He died for you? Would you believe He's risen in you? Would you believe there's some hope in this crazy world today? You say, "Well, Pastor Ayers, I can't understand it." Let me give you the good news. I can't find one place in Scripture where Jesus said, "Come understand me." Isn't that interesting? He said, "Come follow me and you'll understand." So today, some just need to start that "come follow me" moment and you will understand. Pray with me. Lord, I know no person here today is here by accident. Lord, I thank You for the new faces You've brought to worship today. And I pray that they've heard through a messed up servant full of grace how wonderful You are. And right now, if you need to ask Christ in your life, why don't you just tell Him, "Lord Jesus, come into my life, forgive me of my sins. God, enter into me, show me Your new way." If you're a follower of Jesus, why can't we just say today, why wouldn't it be possible to say, "Lord Jesus, the hope You have for us, God, let us live that out. Even when it looks hopeless, let us live that out." Maybe you need to come today and just say, "God, I love You and I've been baptized in You, but there's some struggles in my life. And sometimes those struggles, even though I know I believe in You, they seem so hopeless. Remind me this Advent season, there's hope in all things through You." And guess what? You can look up. Maybe you just need to be baptized. You've asked Christ in your life. You've done it a year ago or 2 years ago or whatever. And you say, man, I'm kind of scared of that water up there. Come on. You're telling me the God that has loved you and forgiven you and done everything in the world to you, there is no shame in you. Maybe the devil's been holding you back because he doesn't want you to declare how much hope you really have. It's an altar call here. There are going to be some people come to know Christ here. There are going to be some people get healed here. Come and pray for those that have loss in their life this week. Come and care enough. And I'm going to ask you to do something. This altar call for this moment. You know what? For just a moment. Don't worry about what you got to do. Quit thinking about what's going to happen this afternoon, because you know what? It may not be what you think's going to happen this afternoon. There's a lot of people in this room that'll come to Christ. If we'll just be still enough, patient enough, and let God speak, amen? So in the name of Jesus, you come forward. Delight in God. Find the hope of Jesus. Come and know this love. Don't stand there and resist anymore. He would love. Watch this. This is what's so cool. I can say this in the name of Jesus. Jesus would love to love you. He would love to love you. Would you be open to His love? In the name of Jesus, hope is here. Come. Let us find it together. Let us pray. Let us love one another. Let us be baptized in the name of Jesus. Let's get healed. This altar is open. Amen. Come and find the hope of Christ. Come on.